We're continuing with a discussion about non-Jews doing things for us on Shabbos. So as we mentioned, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something that you can't do. There's, of course, as we're going to see, exceptions. But generally speaking, as a kitzur teaches us, even if a non-Jew decides to do something for you because he likes you, he wants to do something for you on Shabbos. So the halacha is that you have to protest. You know that first of all, you won't be able to enjoy it, have any hanah, as we'll see. And there's distinctions in that in a moment we're going to see. And number two, one has to protest and say, no, please don't do it. You know, one of the classical things that I mentioned happens all the many times in hotels is where they put up urns of hot water on Shabbos. So that's absolutely forbidden if it's being done for the Jews. And that depends if there's a majority of Jews in the hotel. An example that the Kitzur gives, which is a major debate, is that he says, you know, that to, if the non-Jew is trying to remove some of the ashes from the candles that are burning, so they should burn better, you have to stop, you have to burn better, you should stop him. So happens to be, and this Chafetz Chaim discusses this, and he actually says that it's permitted. Why is it permitted? Because anyway, there was already light, and B, you didn't ask him to do it, and technically speaking, you would even be allowed to hint to him. Meaning, so this is a very crucial point. Like, for example, sometimes you have these emergency exit signs that give some light. So I remember, based on that, someone would say that if you could already see a little bit in the room, so you'd be allowed to hint to a non-Jew and shul to that it's, you know, we can't see, and he would turn on the light. But again, according to Kitzur Shanach, it would be forbidden. If someone sees that there's going to be a great loss, I had this recently, someone actually had a major flood. So this is an example. Kitzur gives an example where his barrel of wine is cracking and he's going to lose a lot of money. So then you're allowed to call a non-Jew. And this is a little bit tricky. You could call a non-Jew, and even though you know for sure the non-Jew is going to fix the situation, and even a complete malacha, like for example a flood, but you can't command, and even the hinting can't be a real command. What he could say is anyone that's going to save this situation is not going to lose reward. Now, even that is only permitted when there's a great loss. So that's why these things, each one has to be independently asked to Shaila, but in this situation, that will be permitted. Something that's not a complete melacha. So here's where we get into what's called the shvus to shvus b'mokom mitzvah, or shvus to shvus b'mokom choili, which basically means that telling an non-Jew to do something, we look at it as a rabbinical. And if you're telling him to do something that's only rabbinical, so when it is a shvus to shvus, that's what means shvus to shvus, means drabanan, drabanan. Plus, it's the Torah mitzvah, that's when there's a leniency. And from this, of course, what happens is when there's leniency, it spreads. But that's the way one has to be careful, to only go follow what is really permitted. So the kitzur is talking about, or there's a type of sickness. So technically speaking, if you would tell him, just giving it an interesting example, technically, if a person really needed medicine, even if he's not in danger, to tell Nandru to use, let's say, an electric car, which pashas would be the Rabbanan, that would be a shvus to shvus b'mokom choili, or the tzorech mitzvah. What's an example? They used to send non-Jews to go and bring beer. Now, here's a perfect example. They needed beer. They really needed beer. It wasn't just an extra pleasure, as the kids himself says. Just tiny, someone just asked me, and that's listening to the kids of Shonach, on the Chevre, he asked a good question. He said that, you know, when you're doing something as if you're measuring and it's done for extra pleasure, is that okay? You see, from the kids, there has to be a real, just the fact that there may be additional pleasure doesn't really constitute that one should be lenient when it comes at least to Amira La'akum, telling a non-Jew. Telling a non-Jew, in fact, the Kitzur says, bring something outside the Tchum. We may discuss this, is even B'dievet is forbidden to enjoy on Shabbos. And there's a discussion, some say that even if there's going to be a loss, let's say to take something that's going to be destroyed in the rain. So that, Kitzur already says, permitted. We've actually discussed this. Someone asked me about a grill, you'd have to cover a grill, but that you yourself could cover a grill, but you could even ask him to move it if there's going to be a great loss. I was pointing out, I remember I was by Shem Zachar, and cakes and stuff showed up way after it says. So that's a major problem, because a non-Jew doing so is doing it for the person himself. At best, it would be permitted maybe for the other people, and that would be assuming that it's not, there wasn't a derisor transgressed, i.e. they brought it, and it wasn't fully outside of the tchum. When it's cold outside, or it was cold inside the house, so there's a special heter, called Hakol Choylim Etzal Atzina. That means everyone's considered sick when it comes to cold. People could get sick, and therefore there's a big leniency that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a full malacha putting on the fire. But as Akita himself says, this is not something like, oh, I just feel a little bit uncomfortable. Hope it's already permitted. Interesting discussion in the Piskei Tshuva is whether he quotes some Pesukim that said that this is also true when it comes to heat. I think Moshe was not makeable with this. Not everyone agrees to that, but others agree that, especially in today's terms, sometimes when it gets so hot, it could be so uncomfortable, and therefore there's room to be makeable, especially with, let's say, our systems that perhaps only in the so the Rabbanan, depending on how you view the issue of electricity, etc. When it comes to a non-Jew, the Kitz goes on to give some interesting cases. A non-Jew brings produce to a Jew that he owed, meaning the Jew paid for it, and he shows up on Friday night. What are you supposed to do? Or Shabbos day? This sometimes happens, by the way, with all the deliveries, Amazon, everything else. So you paid for it. Now, what do? So you could give him a key to your storage, and the non-Jew could go and measure. And the non-Jew is really doing his own malach, meaning he's bringing produce. And the Jew could even be there to make sure that he's not giving him less than what has been agreed on. But he can't speak about anything about the business. And this is all true where the non-Jew is bringing his own produce, meaning to say, you didn't pay for it yet. So it's very different than the Amazon, etc., because that's really, you can't tell him to. Technically speaking, it's an interesting case would be when the Amazon shows up. So they're doing really their own delivery, but at the end, it's a little bit worse because you already paid for it. The only difference is that not necessarily is that you definitely should not receive it from him because it's mukta. But if you would place it, and that's why I usually leave it outside, that's just going to get ruined. So there'll be more room to be makel for him to put it in the house. But the kids is talking about an interesting point that you're not. You can't start telling him to do different malachas, for example, removing it from the wagons and putting it into the storage, even if technically they want to do it, you have to protest. So again, there's more leniencies here too. And that's why I said if it's a type of delivery that's going to be an expensive delivery, especially it's less of a real malacha that's being done, there's more room to be lenient. Another interesting example, someone recently asked me, very similar case. The kitzur discusses where you have an non-Jew that's making milk. Now, you want it to be Chalav Yisrael, so you need to watch the milk, right? And this is assuming that, like, Moshe's tshuva about the fact that you could rely on the government. But let's say they didn't have the laws. Are you really concerned? So you go and you watch the whole process in order for the Jews after Shabbos to be able to buy it. Now, it sounds like, why would this be permitted? The non-Jew is doing it for you, and he's making the milk and doing Shabbos for you. But nevertheless, no, the milk is owned by the non-Jew. He's doing it for his own self because he wants to do it because he wants to be able to sell it afterwards. So since it's the cheese is always owned by the non-Jew. He's doing it for himself. So the Jew could even tell him, do what you're supposed to do. Do your job, even on Shabbos. Amazing. Why? You could tell the non-Jew, even if it's going to come out that there's going to be a benefit for the Jew. Now, this is a major hetter. So someone asked me this question, similar question. A person asked me, that he went to buy bagels that are produced on Shabbos by a non-Jew. So according to this, it would be permitted. Again, we're talking about using it after Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. A non-Jew that purchased produce from, let's say, merchandise from a Jew, and Pinkti comes up on Shabbos. So definitely should try to prevent him from taking it on Shabbos. The reason for this is also because even though he's doing it for himself, he's not really doing anything for you. But it looks like the deal was made, though. You're telling him to do it. So that's one of the reasons why we say don't ask him. But if it's going to be violent, etc., definitely is worth relying. The last halacha in the siman is where a person has a yahrzeit and he forgot to light a candle on Shabbos. We once discussed this. There's not very much of significant sources for the obligation, let's call it, of lighting a candle. Certainly it's not me'akev. And since that's true, it's not like a candle that you're eating by. And if it's a real achtoiv, an obligation to eat by candlelight, but since it's not an obligation like that, so therefore, if it's only been a shmoshes, it's between, meaning it's after sundown, but it's not tzeis. According to Moshe, that will be about 30 minutes after shkia. So then there's room to be up to 30 minutes after shkia. It's interesting. According to him, really, ben a shmoshes goes 41 minutes, starts at 41 minutes till 50. But I saw that the article quotes on talking to Moshe up to 30 minutes. Depending on how long you really keep Motzei Shabbos, it could be room to be even more lenient. But in any case, that would be permitted because that's like a shvus to shvus b'mokum teirich. It's hard to say it's not exactly a mitzvah. And although there is a tshuva from the Ben Ish Chai about the benefits of lighting, I think he actually says that the main purpose is when it comes to your tzeit lights and everything else is actually to pay for electricity for people or candles for people to learn Torah. And lastly, we're starting a new siman. Siman Tzadikah speaks about when a person is sick, what can be done. So the first level, we call it michush bal. A person's just a little bit, like a little bit of a headache. He's really getting better. You're not allowed to do any refuah for him, actually. Even something that's not a malacha, even just a shmir oil, whether he's doing it or anyone else is doing it, even by a non-Jew on Shabbos. Meaning to say, as we're going to learn, that when it comes to someone that's not well, when it's something minimal, there's much less permissibility to take any action. Whether there's an aspirin, Advil, etc. It's only when a person, as we're going to see, is nafal mishkav, that means he has to lie down, or it's affecting his entire body. That's where there's a special heter using an anju, etc. And of course, if there's a danger involved, meaning health danger, then we don't take any chances. Have a beautiful day.